Dr. Laura Markham is the author of Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids and founder of AhaParenting.com. She earned her PhD in clinical psychology at Columbia University, and her clinical practice is devoted to coaching parents from New York to Australia. Her new book is Peaceful Parent, Happy Siblings, How to Stop the Fighting and Raise Friends for Life. The book is published by Penguin, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Laura Markham to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Give us a sense of what brought you to this subject of looking at this in your practice and as an issue as a whole.
Well, this is the book that I wanted when my second child was born, because my son looked at her, looked at this baby and said, "Can we send her back?" You know, he would go around saying things like, "I hate her. I don't know why, I just do. I hate her." I had a PhD in clinical psychology, and I was out of my league, so I started to do some research. And I realized that while my impulse was to say, "Don't say such mean things," in fact, that wouldn't help. Because once he's feeling it, the feelings are already there. He's just going to try to stuff them away out of awareness, but they're still going to be there festering. So instead, I started saying things like, "It's hard sometimes to have a baby in the house. It must be really hard to share me and to have to wait your turn when I'm changing her diaper and you want my help with your shoes. But sweetie, you can always tell me if you're upset like that. You can always tell me and I'll help you and I'll always understand." And you know, when I'd say things like that to him, you could just see his face would sort of loosen up a little bit. His whole body language would loosen a little bit, and he would give me a big hug. And then he'd go off and he'd play with his trains, and then I'd see him a little while later go over to the baby and stroke her gently. And I realized what was happening was, because he was allowed to have those feelings, he was allowed to express them, they were acknowledged, he wasn't made to feel like a terrible person, they just begin to dissipate. That's the secret about emotion we're never taught. They begin to vanish, and it sort of opened up space for him to actually find some natural affection for his sister. So I realized that parents don't have that information, and they don't know how, as kids get older, they don't know how to help kids compromise on a solution that works for both of them or, you know, work out their disagreements. They don't know how to teach those skills. And so I wanted parents to have that book.
Part of my job is to try to intuit what people are screaming at the radio when we're discussing. And I
okay.
One of the questions may be, "Oh, okay, that's very nice, but how do you remain that calm? How do you have that voice to talk to the child in that calming voice?"
And that is the million-dollar question, Joe. That is exactly why I call the book Peaceful Parent, Happy Siblings. And my first book was Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids. So it's not, being a peaceful parent does not mean that you're peaceful all the time. No human being is. It means you're making the commitment to try to regulate your own emotions and not to have a tantrum. And that doesn't mean you won't get mad. It doesn't mean you won't get upset. But to stop, to commit to being a little more mindful, to stop, to recognize that you're the role model here, and if you're yelling, you're just teaching your kids to yell. You know, we don't really want to teach kids that that's the way we solve interpersonal problems, is by yelling at each other, right? We're the role model. So peace, being a peaceful parent means you stop, you take a breath, you try not to get hijacked by your emotions, you try to calm yourself down before you intervene. You maybe use a little mantra like, "It's not an emergency," right? And it takes a lot of work. You're developing, actually, the neural pathways that allow you to regulate yourself. It basically is the frontal cortex is controlling the limbic system. The limbic system says, "There's an emergency here. Somebody's the enemy. We need to fight." And you're saying, "No, actually, there's no emergency." And every time you make that decision, you're building self-discipline yourself, for yourself. We always want to teach our kids self-discipline, but we actually sometimes need to develop it ourselves as well. And you're training your brain that it can stop before it gets hijacked. And so that's what being a peaceful parent is. So you're saying, how do parents do it? In fact, the whole first part of Peaceful Parent, Happy Siblings is about how to do that. You can't stay calm. No one stays calm. But it's about how to notice when you're starting to lose it and reel yourself back to a more calm place.
Is it possible to know how much of it is you, the parent, and how much of it is the kid? Because kids are different. Kids are going to react and relate to you different, especially as they grow and mature.
Yeah, every child is different for sure, and they all respond differently. And I absolutely believe, having now worked with thousands of families, that there are kids who are easy and there are kids who are hard and there are kids who are somewhere in between. There's a bell curve like with anything else. So every kid is different. I would say that if there's a place with your child where you hit the same hard place over and over again, you're both contributing to it. But since you're the grown-up, you have the responsibility to clean up your end. And if you do, it will not be such a hard place, even if your child doesn't change. In fact, your child will change just because you're changing what you're bringing to the interaction. So I've seen over and over again, parents think that they're not really contributing, but actually once they stop and look at their own, how emotionally overwrought they get about it and calm themselves down, that the child changes too.
You're not a big fan of timeouts.
Well, I just think they're not the best way to teach the lessons we want to teach. So let's say our boys are playing, they're building with their blocks, and they get into a fight over a block, and one of them knocks down the other one's tower. And we, as the parent, you know, our youngest is crying, the big one's always a bully like this, we sweep in, we grab him by the arm, and we say, "You should know better, you're the oldest, time out for you," and we put him on the naughty step and we say, "You think about what you did wrong." Now, do you think he actually sits on that step and thinks, "I'd like to be a better big brother. I want to be nicer to my brother next time."
Right.
No, he sits there and he thinks, "My brother called me a name. It was his own fault that I knocked down his tower. He was trying to take the block I wanted, the special shape. It was all his fault, and Mom always gives him his way. She prefers him. He's her favorite." And so you're building, you're actually fostering sibling rivalry when what you're trying to do is the opposite. So think of, there's another way you could do it. You could take a deep breath. You could recognize that, yes, your youngest is crying, but nobody's dying, nobody's hurt, nobody's going to the hospital. It's really not an emergency. You take another deep breath. You go sit down with your kids and you describe the problem. You're not blaming your oldest, even though you think it's all his fault. You're just describing the problem. "Wow, I hear loud voices and I see one of the towers is knocked down. You two are having a really hard time. Tell me about it. You sit on this side and you sit on that side. Okay, you first." And you touch each child while the other one's talking so they stay connected and they're not feeling as much on the defensive. They each tell their side of the story. But you're not doing this so you can decide who's right. You're doing it so they each feel heard. You're not trying to make one right and one wrong. And you acknowledge each one. "So you were so mad because he called you names. That really hurt your feelings. And you were so mad you knocked down the tower. Is that what happened?" Notice I'm not blaming and judging. I'm opening up room here for him to step into it and take responsibility and say, "Yeah, I was really hurt, so I lashed out. Guess that wasn't really the best thing to do, was it?" Right? But if I attack him, if I say, "You shouldn't have done that," initially, before he's had a chance to talk, what's going to happen is he's going to be on the defensive. So at this point now, both kids have told their side of the story. They're both feeling they've heard each other tell the story. So they're starting to develop a little empathy here. "Oh, I guess the other person has a side too." And now you can say, "So we have two brothers who usually love to play together, but now they're having such a hard time. Your feelings are hurt because he called you names, and your feelings are hurt because he knocked down your tower. What are we going to do to make things better? What can you do? What can you both do to repair this with each other?" And at this point, maybe you've opened up enough space with your understanding and with them feeling acknowledged that your kid can look at his brother and say, "I'll help you build the tower again if you promise you won't call me names anymore."
Mm.
And you've just helped them not only to repair what they broke between them, but to strengthen their relationship. Now they're bonding, building the tower again, completely different than what happened with the punishment, the timeout.
The name of the book is Peaceful Parent, Happy Siblings. It's by Dr. Laura Markham. Dr. Markham, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the book is Peaceful Parent, Happy Siblings. It's published by Penguin. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.